Good day, everyone. Welcome to today's LifeInvestigated.com podcast. The title of the message is Stumping: The Need to Reset the American Church and Government Models. So the word stumping was something, a term that refers to the act of giving speeches, and it could have, generally speaking, it was then more on a religious nature back in the 17th and 18th centuries, but it also was a political venue also for politicians to get on any type of elevated space that they could get on, which would generally be a tree stump or, you know, anything else that they could find that would elevate themselves above a crowd to give an orientation on whatever it was their passion was or their cause was. That way it would, when they were, most of them would probably have been very boisterous. And when they set themselves above the crowd, it was easier to draw a crowd that way and easier for people to see and hear them. So we can trace it back to, truthfully, in colonial America, we can trace it back, the stumping aspect of this, we can trace it back to the religious leaders that were coming from Europe and were, as people had came from Europe and began to settle this land that we now call America, the colonists, itinerant preachers followed them, and they began to establish their different religious organizations and denominations. Whether that was actually these men's true goal or not, I don't really know, but that's what happened out of it. You've seen multiple denominations get their foundational roots during this time in America in the 17th and 18th century. Ministers, Protestant ministers coming from Europe, areas like Scotland and England and places like that, touring the countryside and getting up on any type of elevated platform that they could find. Generally speaking, a stump or a tree that had fallen over. And they would go in any type of mostly open fields, or if there was a brush arbor, if somebody put together some shelter through, some leftover trees that had been cut or things like that, or maybe just made a little shelter from wood and brush that they could give to give a place for a public meeting. This is where these men were meeting at, primarily, again, at its origins, for the purpose of propagating and speaking out their religion, their Protestant religion. And I'm assuming their goal was to build the kingdom of God, not necessarily build a church. So I think that's one place that the American church model has gone wrong. The American church model in recent years, and I say recent years, I will say at least for the last 40 years, have pretty much brought themselves into mainstream American life by trying to reflect the world instead of reflecting the kingdom. So the Christians, if you believe the Bible, if you believe your Christian Bible, your Holy Bible, the goal of that for each individual Christian is to build God's kingdom, not to actually build a denomination or a church or an organization, is to build God's kingdom. So I assume that during what we now historically refer to as the Great Awakening, that period of time and practice when a series of religious revivals began to sweep through America, and you had ministers like George Whitefield from England. He was well known for his itinerant preaching and traveling the countryside. Sheffy was another one in here, like even in the region that I live, you still have a prominent foundational offspring of Sheffy and his stumping and his camp meetings out in the mountains and the fields and the river bank, river bottoms, and anywhere that he was traveling to speak primarily about the gospel and the building of God's kingdom, at least on the sermons that I've read, if they are historically correct. That seemed to be what these men were preaching about and teaching about. So they didn't need a church building. Well, there wasn't any church buildings, or if there were, there were very few. And I think the American church model has got to the point, it feels like it has to have this elaborate church building with a denominational affiliation, even churches that call themselves interdenominational or non-denominational still tend to have a denominational foundation of some kind, even though they may not pay taxes into that denomination. They still will have those roots or those branches that follow along after them, whether they like to admit it or not. One thing these men were doing were they were very, again, reading history and taking into account that the history that I was reading was correctly represented, which may not always be true of history. These men were very passionate about their cause for Christ and the cause of building the kingdom of God. And I think that's in part what drew people to a lot of these men that we now consider in America the founders of the faith in the American church model. Well, what have we done wrong? And why is the church infrastructure crumbling? And it is crumbling, just like the infrastructure of America is crumbling right now. Our infrastructure in highways and bridges and waterways and ways to navigate and utilize the natural resources, they're crumbling right before our very eyes. And part of it is because our political system has become so corrupt that the only projects that really get the money, the tax money that we, you and I pay in, are for pet peeve projects, are for contractors that have the right tools in place to navigate the elected politicians either through corruption or through blackmail and just simply buying them off. And those projects will get the pet peeves for whatever that particular organization is, whether they build bridges or whether they build barges or whether they build jet airplanes, whether they're a road construction company, they all are trying in there, trying to get their piece of the pie. And that necessarily doesn't always improve our infrastructure as a nation. And certainly we know as the Secretary of Transportation is totally inept. And has no business whatsoever being in that job. He's nothing more than just a little fruitcake. But anyway, we're talking about the decay of both the church model and the government model in America. And they're both going to have a reset. All throughout history, we have seen that any type of history book you read, if you read the Christian Bible as a history book, you see all kinds of examples of resets, or a reboot might be the better terminology today that more people might understand. How many times do you have, when your computer just gets more in its random memory that it's really gained or has the ability to process through its random memory access. Sometimes what do you have to do? You have to just turn your computer off, let it clear itself out, and then turn it back on. Now, sometimes you may have gotten your computer so full that you have to go through and manually restructure its memory. In other words, you have to take things out manually and delete it and throw it out into hyperspace there. It's a reboot. Well, it's my opinion that here in 2024, that in order to be effective again as a nation, in order to be effective again as a religious organization and a spiritual organization, both the church and the nation is going to have to reboot. And here again, if we read the Bible as history, we see throughout history numerous reboots of societies, enormous reboots of government. We see a corrupt government that may have been allowed to, or for whatever reason, it functioned for 20, 30, 40, 50 years in absolute corruption, and people were absolutely oppressed, and just the society itself would begin to disintegrate and implode from within. We often like to use the great Roman society for an example of that, of implosion of a government that was corrupt and failed to meet the needs of not only society, but just meet the needs to exist in the universe. So whether you believe in Jesus Christ as a Savior or not, whether you believe in a creator God or not, and some of you are just universalists and you just believe the universe itself, there are some significant points in all three parts. Once you get so corrupt, no matter how you attribute to the vehicle that leads to it and who, by whose direction and power in hand it is, if you look at it in totality, the universe finally just says, enough is enough. It's not a man doing it. Because if a man could say enough is enough, if a mere man could say enough is enough, I got to tell you, the Patriot Trainer right here, right now, and on June the 23rd, 2024, would just say, enough is enough, reboot. But I don't have that say-so, and I don't have that authority, neither do any of you. Now, people like me, we ascribe to a faith in God. And more than that, a personal faith in a Savior called Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Not all of you do that. Some of you will still believe in God. You will still believe in a sovereign being, a creator God, an almighty and an all-powerful creator, but you don't really attribute his personality to that, or his delivery of his power and his grace through the means of his what we call as Christians, his son, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One. I'm not here to debate that with you. I'm not even here to try to convince you to change your mind this morning. I'm here to tell you that things are bad and things are out of order and we need a reboot. So where is our influence? Where is our influence today? Where is our religious influence? Let's talk about that for a minute. Where is our religious influence? We go back to the stumping and we see the building supposedly, and it looks to me like that was probably the design of it, the building of God's kingdom by adding believers, people who trusted in this creator God through the avenue and the means of Christ Jesus, to build additional family or fellowship, to cause people to have the revelation and the desire within their soul and their spirit man to be connected to God and not separated from God. So these men come out and they begin through this method of stumping and this very basic rudimentary way to build a process. simplified, but yet effective. And we have complicated the church. We have for many years, I say we got into the rise of the Hollywood church. It's been many years ago now when I was involved in a mainstream international organization, religious organization, that they call it the mega church, they call it church growth, they call it, people can come up with all kinds of names. So I came up with my name and I called it the Hollywood church, because most of what, even though they would have thousands of people, I'm not going to say thousands of believers, because their church membership is not thousands and thousands and thousands of believers. It's thousands and thousands of people attending for multiple purposes in life. One might have been just entertainment. One might have been out of tradition. One might have been out of just something to do. One might be they got fed food and clothing and provided cars and apartments and paid electric bills and paid phone bills and things like that. Many of them attending for reasons like that. Many of them attending these mega churches or Hollywood churches for the purposes of recognition. I go to the popular church, and it doesn't have to be a church of thousands. I've noticed in every community, even in rural areas that I live, there are popular churches. And those popular churches compete. They actually compete for popularity and for attendance. It's funny, I've noticed that back when I pastored for 26 years before I retired out of the pastorate. And I can think back to particular times when I were in small rural communities that churches would compete against each other, especially churches of the same denomination. Now, if you had a different denomination and a different sort of way that you believed or delivered your spiritual aspects of your life, you really didn't compete. For example, Pentecostal type church and community really wasn't competing so much against the evangelical church like a Baptist church. But then, for example, the Baptist churches would have to compete against each other for popularity and for attendance. Now, I've pastored both. I trained and studied as a Pentecostal preacher and preached the last 9 years or served the last 9 years of the ministry in an independent Baptist. Now, while I was in an independent Baptist in a small rural community, a lot of competition among the Baptist churches. And so you were vying for those people that believed the way that you did, that would come in and grace the presence of your church and attend your sermons and tithe into your church. One point, one other independent Baptist church in my community even went as far as to have a spaghetti dinner, labeling it as a fellowship dinner, and invited all of my church members unbeknownst to me. I was the only one apparently in the church that didn't know this was happening until after it happened. And then one of my elders came and asked me, said, "Well, Pastor, I was surprised you weren't at the spaghetti dinner." And I'm like, "What spaghetti dinner are you talking about?" And as it turns out, I'm just going to say the competing pastor, if you want to call him a pastor, I wouldn't call him a pastor, but that's not here one way or the other, had led them believe that it was a fellowship dinner between the churches, agreed to by me. But I found out later that he was actively recruiting my church folks to shut down our little small rural church and just join in with him. Now, I'd had my doubt before I even knew this guy was a pastor about his, because I hadn't known him in the community, and I had my doubts about him. But again, my doubts were and things I thought he was, but you know, that's irrelevant too, especially at this point. But anyway, so, you know, there's this church is structured to the point that no matter how many members you say you have, you're not really fulfilling the missions that you see in your own Bible that you say is infallible. So what has to happen? we have to have a restructure. When things don't work, we have to look at a different way to do the things that we are doing to make them effective for the cause that we feel like needs to be promoted. Same way with the government. So I read this morning, or I was unaware of it, and I spoke this about 2 years ago after COVID. So during COVID, for all the ministers that cowered down to the illegal shutdowns and the COVID propaganda, and they just shut down, the biggest part of them, some stood. That in itself showed me how ineffective the American church model is and how much the church model really wasn't needed by its society. If it was really, if all of the preachers that got up and hollered online while they had their mask on, if they really believed the church was an essential product of the very existence of the American culture, they wouldn't have shut their doors. They just went on to jail. That's just a pure bottom line. So pastors showed me how much fortitude that they did not have, how much they are willing to be controlled by the government, and so on. Now, here's where stumping began to go into the political field. So I guess the politicians went, hey, these guys are getting audiences, so let's go out and promote our political agenda. And what did they do? What was the first way for a politician to further his cause to be elected into a political office or magistrate, mayor, whatever it happened to be under that form of government? What was their best way to do it? Through the church, through the same method that the church was using supposedly to build the kingdom of God. So thus, we would, most of you, if I say the word stumping now, you would first think of politicians out stumping for votes or out in the community, like in Labor Day, for example. It's a big time of stumping. They're not standing on stumps, but they're out, these politicians are out in communities, you know, in the parades and different picnics and stuff, and speaking to people like they really care about the people and kissing the babies and so on and so forth. So we see politics picked up on that. And the way they did that, the way they began to influence, was through the church, through the religious organizations. So they started gaining friendships with the pastors, with the evangelists, and with those that had close-knit communities for their beliefs, irregardless of denomination or what they actually believed. They decided that politics needed to infiltrate that. So thus they took basically over the delivering method of stumping to promote their political agendas. So, and since then, what has happened? Both have crumbled. I referred to it earlier, and then I got sidetracked on one of my rabbit trails, which I often do, since I don't use a polished, delivered method of speaking the things that I do. I'm more of a impromptu kind of guy. Another Hollywood preacher, as I call him, and I actually liked the guy for a while. He was actually taught some pretty good Bible lessons, and he had a very good delivery method. Another one has been now mega church, international church, missions work, well-known Hollywood actors attending this church, other Hollywood preachers attending this church, wrote numerous books, multiplied millionaire now. Recently, I apparently within the past week discovered that he had sexually abused a 12-year-old girl sometime about 20 or 30 years ago. obviously that was before he rose to prominence in his ministry, but it has, you know, come out, and he, another one resigned. So that's three or four this year already. And 2 years ago after COVID, I on one of my medias, I don't remember where it was, but I had it in my heart that the mega church, the church was going to start to crumble, especially the mega church model. And that many of these, again, what I call Hollywood pastors, they're going to be found out for who they really are. And by the way, we don't support or recognize there's a reason to sexually abuse a child. There is no reason for that other than perversion. But when I say this, I recognize that every man has a fallibility and every woman has a fallibility. But they're coming to light now. And I knew this was going to happen. I spoke it publicly. It's going to happen. Matter of fact, I started speaking this many, many years ago. I started speaking this probably 15 years ago about especially the mega church model and the popularity model. Even if you don't have quite the hundreds of thousands of people, you know, in rural communities, if you build a church and you got 1,000 people coming, you're a mega church, comparatively speaking, to a metroplex like Dallas Fort Worth, okay, where this one church is at, or somewhere down in there. And if you listen to the church members, that pastor can do no wrong. Matter of fact, that pastor has almost been set up in the place of Jesus Christ, our God himself. You better be careful. You're going to find out some things as the church structure keeps crumbling, because it is out of kilter with God. It is out of kilter with the universe. It serves very little purpose in society today, other than a place to go ease your conscience for a few moments. Yeah, sometimes you get some encouragement, but what happens when you get that encouragement from a man that, or, you know, that 6 months later you find out was sexually molesting half of the women, or sexually assaulting half of the women in the congregation, or stealing from the church, or, you know, whatever. I mean, there's a multitude of sins any of us can be susceptible to at any time if we give into it. And the reason we give into things that are wrong is because not the devil made us do it. It's because we wanted to, pure and simple. So we've got to reset. And how do you reset something? You go back to its beginnings. If it had any good foundational purpose at all, and if it ever served any purpose throughout history, and it is deserving to be restructured and rebooted and to continue its legacy for whatever organization or purpose or movement, if it deserves its legacy to move forward, sometimes you just have to go backwards and start all over again. Sort of like the concept of bankruptcy in this country. So you do some, you make bad financial decisions, and things get out of hand, and it gets to the point there is no means for you to meet your obligations financially. So what do? You turn to a law, a bankruptcy law. And this was biblical in itself in the old covenant, just didn't call it bankruptcy, and say, okay, judge, I can't do it. I have no way to pay my debts. I need some sort of relief. So what are you doing? When you file bankruptcy, you are rebooting your financial life, supposedly. Some of you still don't learn the lesson. You still try to live above your means, and you're still frivolous with your spending, and you turn around, and as soon as it's legal again, you bankrupt again. That's not asking for relief. That's just corruption. But anyway, you're rebooting. You're telling the law, you're telling the government, I can't pay my bills, but I need some protection. And so they set up a structure and they wipe out certain things and they do this and do that and say, all right, here's your opportunity, Mr. John Q or Jeanette Q citizen. Here is your opportunity to reboot and to reset and get your life back on track. That's exactly what we've got to do in the church and in the government. Listen, folks, neither one's working. The American church is not working. I don't care what your it's good that you love your pastor and you love your church. It's good to a point. As long as you don't love them to the point that you don't see and discern the things that are wrong. And if you are attending a church that doesn't allow you to say, I don't think this is right, then you're not in a church, you're in a cult. You're in an organization that doesn't allow you your basic fundamental right as a Christian and as a U.S. citizen to have your own opinion and freedom of speech. That's the kind of church you're in. You're not really in a church. You're not in a kingdom-building church, that's for sure. And of course, we see that the government is continually taking away our constitutional rights that we so often refer to. As a Christian, we refer to it as that our divine right because we say, and many evangelists have taught in recent years, that this country was founded by Christians. This country was not really founded by Christians. I've heard preachers, and I've probably even in error preached it in the past because of my training. We hear things about George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and so on. Well, if you really truly read history, those men were not actually Christians. They were deists. A deist believes in a God. It believes in a sovereign being, an almighty. And a true deist, the best I can understand, they believe God is in the universe, and then this creator being just put the universe together and placed himself in it, and then said, okay, manage yourself. That's what they really believe, these supposedly founding fathers that we call the authors of the Constitution and the ones who led through the revolutionary times, the Revolutionary War against an oppressing country, i.e., England. So we have wrongly even taught that history in the church. Yes, were there probably some devout Protestants in there somewhere? Yes. Probably was some Catholics in there. But a good part of them either just didn't participate in any organized religion and are ascribed to a deist, a style of belief. So it's not my Christian right. The Constitution of the United States is not my Christian right. It's my rights as a natural born citizen, born under the government and the law, the public thing, the republic. That's what we are. We were born under the law in the republic. And it was given to me by a legal process instituted by the people to be set there to govern and give the standards of the United States of America. These men didn't so much believe in religion and participate in religion as they did, they believed in freedom from religion or freedom of religion, I should more likely say. Why? Because they'd been under the control of a Hollywood church, the Church of England, the state church that imposed morals that weren't even morality. They imposed taxes on them. They imposed a lifestyle on them that wasn't justified. So they said, no, we came to this country, we're giving our blood, sweat, and tears, and we're dying for it. And here's what we're dying for: the right to worship the way we want to worship. Now, I don't like some of these other organizations. I don't like some of these religious organizations. But if they're naturalized Americans and they have their rights, the constitutional rights of an American, they have the legal right to worship the way they want to. Period. That's what our founding fathers, and they said, well, no, we don't want unjust taxation. We know we need taxation, but we don't want taxation that goes and lines the pocket of the queen. Well, what does our taxation turn to, folks? It's lining the pockets of the politicians and the elitists of this country. And quite frankly, some of the people that founded this country were elitist in their thinking and in their wherewithal at that time, too. And part of some of the government regs that were put in were to protect the rich. Now, I'm not a Joe Biden supporter and I'm not a leftist, so don't get me wrong. But some of the things the liberals say, as hard as it is for me to digest this myself, that I would say this, some of the things the liberals say are not totally wrong. It's just, but they have, the liberal movement in America has turned over into a strong arm tactic using the laws of the land, just like England did. So we're right back to where we started from. You see why I'm saying we need a restructuring. We've got to get back to the basics. We've got to get back to the basics. If we're Christians, the church needs to go back simply to the basic of not being a popular church in the community, the most attended church in the community, and not even the one that's sending out the most people into a supposed third world country to minister. No, no. We've got to get back simply to the principle of building a kingdom of God that we believe in. What do we got to get it back to as a country? To the basic principles of rights, to the basic principles to live a free life, to make decisions, and not be prosecuted by corrupt prosecutors like New York and all of these other. I don't even really like Trump, but he's a whole lot smarter and has a whole lot more effective ways to govern a country than the shell of a ghost of an idiot and a pedophile, probably, and certainly a criminal organization he's got going on there, than what we have setting, period. But that still's not, Trump is still not where this country needs to be. This country needs to be reset. We need to get back to the original compassion and impassion about what we believe and what we are looking for out of life as a nation and as a government. And until we come back and we re-examine the true roots of this nation, as we re-examine the true roots of our spiritual life, we will not ever go forward effectively. We will not progress forward effectively as a government or a religious organization until we re-examine our roots and go back to those basic principles. Well, this one went a lot longer than I wanted, so this is the Patriot Trainer. I would ask you subscribe to my channels, but send this link on to somebody else and just help them maybe get a different perspective. I'm not trying to build, I'm not trying to be a social influencer or whatever they call those things. This is my method of stumping. This is how I can most effectively stump for the things that are dear to me and the things that I believe in. I'll see you next time.